Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, August 2nd, 2024. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 36, paragraph 3, begins with, "Thus started one more journey to the asylum," and ends with, "If only he mixed it with some milk." Today's readers are Kathy M. for the 12 Steps, Hillary B. for the 12 Traditions, Shelley E. will read and comment on our share, and Chanel T. will read page 164 for us. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21623. That's 21623. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21625. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose: to carry this message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Kathy M. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Kathy M., recovered one day at a time in Michigan. Here are the 12 steps. Step 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for having me to be of service. I appreciate it, and have a great day, everybody.
Thank you for carrying the message, Kathy M. And I will now ask Hillary B. to please read the 12 traditions.
Thank you. Good morning. Peter in California. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Hillary B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then we stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 36, paragraph 3, which begins with thus started. And I will now ask Shelley E. to please begin reading.
Thank you so much. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Northern Michigan. The Big Book, page 36, third paragraph. Thus started one more journey to the asylum for Jen. Here was the threat of commitment, the loss of family and position, to say nothing of that intense mental and physical suffering which drinking always caused him. He had much knowledge about himself as an alcoholic, yet all reasons for not drinking were easily pushed aside in favor of the foolish idea that he could take whiskey if only he mixed it with milk. Yes, we always have these great insane ideas. And I know for myself, the insane ideas always won out until I got to program and leaned into higher power. When I was reading, as I read this morning at the very first meeting, and if you missed it, I suggest you go back and listen to it, because the very first reader told us and reminded us what an asylum was. Back in the day that Jim was going, it wasn't when everybody sat around in a nice, comfortable chair and sang Kumbaya and did the steps. It was a very horrible place at this time. And even the threat of that, and he had been there before, and he was here he was again, even the threat of that could not keep him from having these insane ideas. And I started thinking about myself, the things that happened to me that, you know, the wondering if a chair would hold my weight, actually breaking a chair or two, having to ask for an extension on a airplane. I have double knee replacement. The day after my double knee replacement, I was having dessert. I did my physical therapy, but I was having dessert. You know, even some of the worst things in my life did not keep me from allowing the insane ideas to win out. It wasn't until I came to program and I actually leaned in and gave everything to higher power and realize that I have absolutely no control over anything. And the more I lean in, the better I got. So anyways, you guys have had me twice this week, and I'm going to pass and let you guys share on this one. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks so much for your service, Shelley. Really, really appreciate it. Although we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, we'd love to hear from you. Please press star 1 to unmute, and I'll take a lineup.
Alex K.
Alex K.
Roz G.
Roz G.
Mahealani C.
Joan Marie M.
I heard Joan Marie M, but who was before Joan Marie M?
Mahealani C.
Can you spell your name for me, please? It's beautiful.
Absolutely. It's a doozy. It's M as in Mary, A H E A L A N as in Nancy I.
Mahealani. Now perform
so
one
close.
Mahealani. Oh wow,
perfect.
That's beautiful. Okay, great. So I've got Alex K, Roz G, Mahealani, and I didn't get the first initial of your last name. Could you share that with me if you're still there? Yeah.
Yes. C is in cat.
C is in cat. Where are you calling from?
California, but the name is Hawaiian.
Oh. Yeah, oh, that's why it's so beautiful. Okay, I have Joan Marie after Mahealani, and there were a couple of other people. Who else wanted to get in this lineup?
Diane Y. from Texas.
Diane Y.
Christy M.
Christy M. Fabulous. That's a great lineup. All right, so we've got Alex K. followed by Roz G. Please share with us, Alex.
Linda W. Linda W.
And I got you, Linda. Thank you.
Thank you.
Please share with us, Alex.
Thank you, Elaine. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Alex K., compulsive eater in California, giving a reprieve for today. Wow, all the reasons for not drinking easily pushed aside. The disease can so quickly make me forget all those reasons. I remember once, years ago, I had been abstinent for about 4 years, and one day I saw an ad for a candy bar, one of my favorite binge foods, and it was in a different size, a new size, and I thought, I'd like to try that, as if it was a perfectly normal thing, as if I wasn't a compulsive eater who'd made myself sick with that and other sweet foods, that strange mental spot. I had no memory of how whenever I ate those foods, I couldn't stop, and they led to misery. I told myself those lies of the disease came in. I believed I'll just have a little after lunch and it'll be fine. But it wasn't fine, of course, and it led to a year-long relapse. The disease is so cunning, baffling, and powerful and can convince me that eating poison is a really good idea. The day before, I knew I couldn't eat my binge food sanely, and then next day I see this ad and suddenly it became okay, as if I was a normal eater and could eat these things without any problem. My only defense is my higher power, but at that time I wasn't spiritually fit. I was only going to meetings once in a while, and I didn't have a solid relationship with a higher power. I didn't understand about the vital spiritual experience and the psychic change that the book talks about that are essential for recovery. And today I'm so grateful that I have a much stronger connection with my higher power, who I rely on, and I'm more immersed in the program and make it a priority. It's a way of life now, and I feel safe and protected. But I'm still a compulsive eater, of course, and always will be, and that disease always can pop up anytime. It does much less than it used to, but it's still there. So I'll keep coming back. I keep taking my medicine I need to treat my disease, which is this program and the steps and my higher power. So grateful to have found it. Thanks, everyone, for helping me with my recovery today. I pass.
Thank you, Alex K. Rob C., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Mahalani C., if I'm saying that right. Please share this, Roz.
Hi, this is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, which is in Los Angeles County. And I think this is a little on the funny side for me because my whiskey in the milk was having a salad with macaroni and cheese or having a salad with tons of other whatever else was on the plate. As long as I had a salad with it, it was okay. I mean, that's completely insane. And I usually have two or three helpings of the macaroni and cheese or whatever else it was. And I thought, oh, well, I'm having a salad, and salads are nutritious. And, you know, most likely I was piling on croutons and cheese and dressing and crap in the salad. You know, it just, as long as I have a green leaf of lettuce, I'm okay. So I just identify the silliness and the insanity of where my brain will take me so that I can get what I want. And if I only have a salad with it, everything will be okay. And as I heard in the first share or the other share, it wasn't okay. Because I would have two or three helpings of the other food and, you know, the salad was left in the dust. Or I'd buy a whole bunch of fruits and vegetables and they would sit in my refrigerator and rot while everything else got eaten. And I do something with OA every day. It's usually a meeting, you know, it's usually a vision for you. But every day I do something with OA, whether it's on a meeting, whether it's working with a sponsee, whether it's journaling and sending it to my sponsor, sending my nightly reviews to other people, doing my prayer and meditation, weighing and measuring my food, sending my food plan to my sponsor. I am accountable and I am thinking, or at least I'm sharing my thinking with another person. You know what I'm saying? Because I hear some people say they don't make food decisions independently. I'll be honest and say I do, but I share them with someone. So I'm not crazy because, you know, I'll say this and somebody might say to me, well, you know, take a look at that. So I've learned to share my secrets. My secrets are sick as, I'm only as sick as my secrets. Sorry for the background noise. But I have to share my secrets with other people. And I'm safe when I do that. So I'm grateful that I have a working program today and that I have a God squad of people and meetings and so much. Thank you. I'll wrap up by saying so much support over with my recovery task. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Roz G. Mahilana C., you're up next, followed by Joan Marie M. Please share with us, Mahalani.
Hi, can I be heard?
You can be heard all the way from, well, did you say you're in Hawaii now?
California.
Okay, thank you. Yeah,
thank you.
Share with us.
Okay, so I love how every time I come onto a meeting, I hear exactly what I need to hear. And yes, I very much am in the process of, oh yeah, I'll just add milk to my whiskey, it'll be fine. Reasons for relapse are really irrelevant because my diseased brain will always come up with a reason. But I am, you know, desperate and looking to come back. So, again, I need to do something every day, like a previous fellow said, and this is part of that step. So thank you for being here.
Thank you very much. Really glad that you're here, Mahalani. Please stay on the line and get some numbers from people that are available to sponsor, or, and you can just do some outreach with them. And
absolutely, will do.
Okay, that's fabulous. Great. Okay, Joan Marie M., you're up next, and you're followed by Diane Y.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, everyone that shared so far. It's so beautiful to be on the line, and it just keeps my head straight. And what came to mind was about the much self-knowledge. The whys for me didn't matter at all because I just had to admit that I have this thing, this disease. And that's why I have to do everything I do now to begin to be free from the obsession and the compulsion. And I am Joan Marie M., a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God. And I never want to forget that. And I have to remember totally that I have alcoholic foods. They may be different than anyone else, but to me, I know where they are and what they are, and I have to remember where it took me from. It took me to the point where I could not stop. I didn't want to stop at times, and then when I wanted to, I couldn't. And so I'm so grateful. And at one time, I was here in Nevada, and I looked into a facility for eating disorders, and they said, yeah, sure, come on in, and we lock you up all day, but then they leave your letter to go home at night. And I thought, no, that would never, ever work, because most of the time my eating was at night, and then it would continue through the day, because whatever I bought for a binge, which was a lot, and then the next day, if there was just a little bit left over, I was gone again, just eating and couldn't stop. And so the delusion had to be smashed. Eat like a normal person, a normal eater. I am not a normal eater, and I never will be. And as long as I stay and connected with a power greater than myself, God, that connection will not be broken with food and putting food in front, where the fogginess of the brain and not thinking clearly and not hearing clearly. Today, it's so different, and I'm so grateful for this program. It's a divine-inspired program, and it's a spiritual program, and I have to keep that connection with God, my God, every single moment of the day. If something comes up, a thought, an action, I just recognize it, ask for forgiveness, and help me not to do it again. It's a simple program. Oh, thank you. It's a simple program. Is it easy? No, but it is a good program. And thank you so much. I'll pass. Bye.
Thank you, Joan Marie M. Diane Y., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Christy M. Diane Y., star one to unmute. Thought I heard a Diane Y. in the line. Maybe I was dreaming. Okay. Christy M., why don't you share with us, please?
Yeah, good morning. This is Christy M., grateful, recovering, overeater, bulimic, and anorexic from Oregon, and just grateful to be on the line today. And just so grateful for recovery. And, you know, just thinking about the thinking that leads me back to food and my disease. And what's interesting that I guess I found in my recovery journey is that by the time I start thinking about the food and having food thoughts, there's like this layer of onions all the way back to some feeling or something I, you know, like some part of life, as the book, big book says, like something I haven't been able to accept, something I haven't returned over to my higher power. And like, because of my disease, because I've used food so long to cope with those feelings, like it's the food that comes first. Like that's the thing I am conscious of. And, you know, using the tools of the program, like writing or talking to a sponsor, so usually for me, like the food thought is like, oh, okay, there's a feeling there. There's something going on that I need to deal with. And when I can write about it, when I can talk about it and kind of peel back the layers of the onion, like that's kind of what gets me out of the food. And, you know, doing what I also found is like when I'm really doing my program well and I'm doing my, you know, my 10th step at night, that's kind of like the proactive way of trying to like, you know, peel back the layers of the onion before it even gets to the food. And I, when I'm really good and disciplined about doing my 10th step at night and doing my meditation in the morning, you know, I find that that happens less often. You know, it still happens, but I think one of the gifts of the program is like to be in my feelings again. And I feel like when I was in the food, really the only feeling I was at least very much aware of was anger. You know, it was like so much of my thoughts were consumed with food. And I think that was what the overwhelming part was early in recovery, is like so many feelings. I didn't know what to do with them all. It felt really overwhelming. It's almost like that, you know, movie that just came out with all the little feelings in the brain, and I just didn't know how to handle them because I'd been so far removed from them. So, you know, some of the things I've learned about the food thoughts is like, if I'm attached to my feelings, if I'm connected to my feelings, if I'm working my program, accepting life on life's terms, if I'm able to let go and let God and turn things over to my higher power, that's kind of a way of that's kind of the proactive way of doing that. And, you know, I love the part of the program that just that humility piece, that step one piece is like, you know, we're powerless. And this is a 24-hour reprieve, and it doesn't matter that I've been in program for 6 years and been abstinent for four. It doesn't matter. I get a 24-hour reprieve just, thank you. I'll wrap up. I get a 24-hour reprieve just like a newcomer does, you know, like it doesn't change. And, you know, it's a good reminder to stay humble and not rest on my laurels. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Christy M. Danielle, why?
Yes, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes, you sound great. Please share with
us. Oh, good. I was trying to unmute and wasn't getting unmuted. I had to call back. Thank you so much. I'll make it very quick.
I'm glad. Thank you, Diane.
Diane Wife in Texas, compulsive overeater, very grateful for everybody on this line, for all of the shares all the time. I always get stuff from everybody, the wisdom and the honesty. It's just so healing. So, yeah, this reading, I love these paragraphs we've been reading. Yes, strange mental twist, mental and physical suffering and pain. That was normal. That was my normal, mental and physical pain and suffering. I had hurt myself so often with food, it became a habit. It became a lifestyle. And then it became my way of thinking. And the parts in the big book where it talks about we need a total psychic change. Our delusions have to be smashed. They don't dance around this stuff. The treatment matches the disorder. And I had to laugh last week. I went to have an hour of prayer and meditation, and I grabbed a book on the way out, you know, and as I was sitting there reading and reflecting, it was talking about our disordered thinking as human beings. You know, this wasn't even a 12-step book. It was just a spiritual book. And I'm like, there it is. There it is. The universal truth that when we run a life on self-will, we develop disordered habits and thinking that have to be smashed. And, you know, it's not about food, you know. It's not about the food. The food is a symptom of a greater, greater problem. And that is the way I think. And that's why sometimes I really suffer in recovery, because some of the things I'm led to do or some of the things that I have to do, it's so counterintuitive to me. It's like, what? This doesn't make sense. But again, I have to remember I had a lifetime of disordered thinking and disordered behavior and disordered eating. That was my norm. And so, you know, that's where be gentle with myself. Easy does it comes in, because some of the things I have to do doesn't make sense, but it's what I have to do to stay in food neutrality, which I have today. It's such a blessing to me. And I'm very grateful to my higher power and to all of you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Diane. I'm Diane West. So glad you could get back on. Linda N. is going to share with us next. And after Linda's share, we're going to take another lineup. We're commenting on page 36, paragraph 3, which begins with, "Thus started one more trip, one more journey to the asylum," and ends with, "If only I mixed it with milk." Okay, please share with us, Linda.
Hi, it's Linda W. from Las Vegas. And this is so true to me. I always rationalize what I can do. So the milk is just something that if I mixed it with this, I'd be okay. But I'm not okay when this happens. I just have to pause and take it easy and call my fellows and do what I'm supposed to do. But I'm such a fighter. I always fight the system. But the only thing that really makes a difference to me is God. And God, when I think of God, God knows everything that I do, every single thing that I do. And it's starting to make me stop and think that there's no other way. And that's all I really have to say. Thank you for letting me share. Linda W., Las Vegas.
Thank you very much, Linda W. Okay, well, let's take another lineup of people who'd like to share on page 36, paragraph 3. Star 1 to
Hillary
unmute.
B.
Hillary B.
Mitris J.
Was it J? Okay.
Mimi R.
Rebecca R.
Mimi R.
I got you, Mimi. Thank you so much. Anybody else want to get in this lineup? Okay, let's go with Hillary B., Beatrice J., Mimi R., and Rebecca R. And so, Hillary, please share with us. And I do hear some background noise, so if you're not Hillary, maybe press star 6 to mute. I mean to mute. Star 1 to mute. Hillary, please share with us.
Hi, thank you so much. Hillary B., recovered in California, gratefully just for today. He had much knowledge about himself as an alcoholic. After so many, like over three decades in OA, I had tremendous knowledge about my disease. I thought I did. A lot of intellectual information that didn't get me anywhere. And all reasons for not eating, I so easily pushed aside in favor that this time I could just take one bite. Or this time, if I have my sweets with a meal, then it wouldn't hurt me. Whatever lies I told myself. And I love this paragraph because it's such an amazing reminder, you know, that I have a mental twist and a mental blank spot that results in me forgetting all the pain I suffered, all the misery, all the how uncomfortable it felt to have to look at myself in the mirror, how my clothes didn't fit. I didn't even want to buy new ones. Why bother wearing the same old things every day, because they sort of fit most of the time. And It was a horrible way to live, and I was in such denial about how horrible my life was, thinking my life's okay. I'm in OA. I don't know. I was so, and so now that I've been abstinent for, I don't know, like a year and 3 months, I see so much of the denial that I've been in, that I had been in for so long, and how many of my character defects I was blind to. And it's not comfortable to see all these defects and that all my, it's not, doesn't feed my ego, but it is so freeing to have awoken, even if it's later in life, to have awoken to this way of living, this way that lets so much light into me, light with a capital L, and so much joy. And no, it isn't easy, but it's so worth it. Someone's unmuted. So much joy. It's worth it to do the work for the payoff of being able to say no to my food thoughts, being able to ignore my addiction, my disease, when it tells me you can have one or this time it won't hurt you. Oh, you've been abstinent now for a year and 3 months. You can handle this. To be able to ignore those and have a good day just for today. And I wish you the same. Thank you for listening and thank you for timing, Elaine.
Thank you very much, Hillary B. Okay, Beatrice J., you're up next and you'll be followed by Mimi R.
Thank you. Thanks for your service. Very glad to be here. You know, it all begins and ends with me, with God. My best thinking got me here. And it's only for me a one day at a time. I don't necessarily count my abstinent days. I take it one day at a time because that's all that I have is today. Yesterday is gone and tomorrow is not here. And I show up and try to work my program to the best of my ability. See, little by little, I'm restored to sanity as I continue to come back to this program. You know, they always say, keep coming back and more will be revealed. So little by little, I'm being restored to sanity and my thinking is changing for the better. But I also have to realize that I don't work a perfect program. I work a program. I'm not going to ever be perfect. See, that's an expectation and an illusion that I have that I would be perfect or that I have so many years of abstinence as if I got this thing beat. That I got the disease beat. No, it's a one day at a time. And this program does work. My worst day in program is better without it. That's why they say keep coming back. But the only one that is perfect is my higher power, is God. But this program allows me to have to work a good program, don't get me wrong. This program really does work. But I can't get on my high horse and say, you know, I got this beat because it doesn't work like that. But as I continue to come back, more will be revealed. And I ask my higher power each day, what would you have me be? It's about doing God's will in my life. and not having high expectations that I'm never going to fail or that I'm never going to be able to be abstinent. My worst day in this program is better than without it. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Beatrice J. Mimi R., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Rebecca R.
Hi, Mimi R. here from Boston, gratefully absent one day at a time, the grace of God, recovering with you fellows. So every day I try to get up and I try to say my third step prayer. You know, God, I offer my faith to do with thee as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self. Take away my difficulties, victory over them. May bear witness to those I would help of thy love, thy power, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. And on those days, I have a better day because I feel like I'm open to the Holy Spirit. So I choose to call God, but other calls. Everyone calls HP whatever they want. It's just the beauty of the program. Everybody has their own individual program, their own individual plan. But I know what my red light foods are, and I've stayed away from them now. And again, I have been perfectly, imperfectly abstinent. So I've had a couple of slips and slides, but I've never had a binge again. And, you know, that's by the grace of God. I have a son who's visiting me now. It's very triggering because he's 350 pounds and he's deep in his disease. You could pray for him. His name is William. He's only 28. He's diabetic now. He has a hard time walking. He has a hard time getting out of a chair. And, you know, it's all self-inflicted. I've shared the program with him. In fact, I came to the program thinking if I could do it, then I could understand what he's going through. But he just isn't interested. So at least, you know, 2 years ago and last year when I tried, he visits me two or three times a year from Arizona. So I'm going to try with William today. I'm out doing my action plan, which is walking the dog. And I'm taking care of my side of the street. I'm making sure I love and accept him for who he is and not nag him about program because it's definitely attraction rather than promotion. So if he sees a change in me, maybe he'll want what I have. I am struggling with step four. I've been through step four before, got up to step eight, lost my sponsor, and had to start again with a new sponsor who wanted me to start over, and that's cool. You can never get enough of the steps, so I started over, and I'm really struggling with step four, and I need to be humble, be obedient, and just do it, you know, just sit down 15, 20 minutes a day until it's done. So what did I want to say? Part of my recovery is getting on a meeting every day because meeting makers make it, and I want to make it in this program. I've sort of fooled around with this disease on and off for, you know, 20, 30 years. I don't want to fool around anymore. I'm grateful I came in 3 years ago. I've walked through my daughter getting married and moving away, my parents moving to Florida and going into assisted living, a boyfriend breaking up with me. I lost two apartments in the last 3 years. I didn't lose them, but I chose to leave. Thank you. But I've walked through these situations abstinent. Yes, my default is poor me. I think I'll have a pity party and I'll stuff my face. That is my default. That is the cunning, baffling power of this disease. But in those moments when I want to just feel sorry for myself, I ask God to help me. I call a fellow and I write my feelings down. Because at the end of the day, I want to say I was abstinent. I want to say I got some exercise. I want to say I treated people well, that I reached out to others, and that if there were unexpressed difficult feelings, that I wrote about them in my journal. Thanks for letting me share, and God bless you all.
Thank you, Mimi. Thank you, Mimi R. Rebecca R., you're up next. Please share with us. Rebecca R.? Star 1 to unmute.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes, we hear you now. Thanks, Becca.
Okay.
I'm Becca R. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Kentucky. And, man, what a great meeting. It's good to be here. This is my home group. I always feel so fed spiritually. What I wanted to share was what came up for me was having been in recovery for a couple years, the food is so sneaky and cunning and baffling. So what this brought up for me wasn't necessarily the food that I added, but it was the behaviors. And specifically, my whiskey in the milk was, well, I didn't eat breakfast or lunch. So does it really matter if I have extra now? Or I ran 10 miles yesterday, so I deserve this. And part of keeping that pendulum in the middle, so to say, is to use that tool of the food plan. My broken brain got me here. I actually have an appointment with my dietitian today. We have an ongoing working relationship. She's seen me through pregnancy. She's seen me through nursing. She's seen me through now perimenopause. But she's a valuable tool for me. The food plan is a valuable tool. I can have everything going right, and I'll think, maybe you should cut your fats in half. Maybe you should walk an extra 4 miles today. That's how my disease talks to me. It goes from one end of the spectrum to the other. Just as it did, like, an extra carrot or an extra apple won't hurt, it will also say, what's 10 more minutes on this elliptical? Or it comes out in those behaviors. And so I just really appreciate all the shares today. It's been a long time since I've binged and purged. And the buildup of human emotion was strong the other day, and I drove by this ice cream place. I mean, it's been years. I fantasized about buying the Blizzard, eating the Blizzard, throwing up the Blizzard, and I'm just so grateful that that's not my life today. It does feel like it was a long time ago, but just like the newcomer, like all I have is today. It's great to be here, and with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Becca R. We have time for 2-minute share. Last call, anybody? Oh, actually, 1 minute. 1 minute share is really all we've got. Anybody have a burning desire? Okay. Gives us some extra time for newcomers.
Linda O. Oh. Reno, Nevada.
Okay. Please share with us briefly. Thank you.
Are we all still here? Hello?
Oh, I'm
Hello?
So sorry.
Elaine, you're muted.
Yes,
it's also silent
that
for
that
me.
Muted.
Hello?
Thank you. Can you hear me now? Can you
yes.
hear me now? Okay,
yes.
great.
Yes.
Okay, so sorry, everybody. we need to close the meeting now with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And sorry for that missed opportunity in between there. Let's see, Chanel T., please read a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, hi. Hopefully you can hear me okay. This is Chanel T. in Washington State. For compulsive eating, is meant suggestive only. We realize only a little. Constantly. Disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously not transmit something God to it, that your relationship with him is right, and great events pass for you and countless others. This is the grace for us, based on what is you understand. Your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you. Thank you. Amen.